everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Tapecast. My name is Davis Matic. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, we continued our series that we are well known to do here, where Pat Mayo comes on the show, and you know, we just talk. And on this episode, our jumping off point was the best animated television shows of all time, and of course, that got us onto a load of other topics. Pat discussed, you know, just some of the realities of his life. We talked about, you know, how long we've been in the fantasy industry, our living situations, why we choose our living situations, really about 50 different topics covered in this podcast, all of which I think are pretty enjoyable. I think that all of you guys enjoy these conversations between Pat and I. Of course, we are sponsored by rotoexperts.com, the NFL 365 package. You can get 10% off of that package right now using the promo code MATIC, MATTEK. We also have bonus episodes of this show on Patreon, patreon.com/tapecast. That's $5 a month for bonus episodes of the show, showdown breakdowns, and more good stuff like that. And as always, if you don't want to do any of that but still want to support the show, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes. That is very helpful, and you can do that, of course, just listening to this podcast right now, and I would really appreciate it. Now, let's get into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Tapecast. I am bringing in my friend, Patrick Mayo. I've never even actually asked. I assume that's your full name, but I don't even know. We have Pat on, you know, every so often, just to talk, just to chat, just to you know, kind of catch up. We just catch up on air. Pat, how are you doing, buddy?
We're not here to like tilt live golf picks or me to give you bad gambling advice. I mean,
no, that's normally when we talk.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So like most of the time we're trying to tell people like how to lose money on fantasy football, fantasy golf, fantasy anything really. But when you come on my show, we just talk, we just chat, we just kind of catch up. Is your real name Patrick?
It is. I wanted to say it was like Padraig, like I was Irish, but it's
but
not.
It's not.
It's just Patrick.
Does anyone call you that?
My family, like my mom and my grandma.
Yeah. That's reasonable. I think if I was a Patrick, I would just be a Pat too. And I would not, I don't, you know what I do actually hate? This is something that people online know, but I get unbelievably tilted when people call me David in real life. When I say my name and then they repeat it back to me as David, it like real life tilts me.
Well, I've written enough messages to you at this point that it doesn't auto-correct to David when I type it in, but for a while it did.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. And like online, whatever, you know, that's just going to happen. And I still do get mail and stuff to my house that I have my water bill every month. Whoever did my account comes to my house as David Matic just because the person on the phone wasn't listening close enough.
Poor guy. He needs to listen better.
Yeah. So you have your normal list of topics for us to chat about. But the first thing that I wanted to discuss with you is something near and dear to my heart. What do you think the second best animated show is behind The Simpsons? Because this is actually something I've given a lot of thought to.
The Simpsons is my favorite show of all time.
Of all time, same.
Are we now sure that its longevity hasn't bumped it? Like, if we look at the average episode of The Simpsons at this point, does it stack up against shorter run animated series?
Well, I mean, the average episode is going to be worse, right? Just because there was an episode in one of the last couple seasons that was about the history of Moe's bar reg. So like, yeah, some of the episodes now are really bad. There just is no way around it. They are really horrible, but I mean, the highs of like season 2 to season 8, I mean, that right there, I think, is maybe almost even just like self-contained, kind of its own show.
Yeah, so I would say that when we talk about The Simpsons, and we love The Simpsons, we're talking, I mean, season 1, but like season 1 to season 10 is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and I do still, like, I think that there are some episodes, like, even after that, that are not bad, right? Like, that I will still watch and be like, this actually is not horrible. I still find this to be enjoyable to watch to me,
If I put a season 16 episode on, I'm not upset about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just talking about like the seasons as a whole. I think there's a pretty big distinction that when, and I don't think it has anything to do with the actual transition from like actual drawing cartoons to digital cartoons.
It looks way worse to me now. Like the digitized version of it looks so much worse to me.
It's so much cheaper to produce though.
Yeah. Oh, big time. They don't, and faster too. They can make episodes so much more quickly.
So I think that there is a pretty concrete number two. It's not my favorite. Like my single favorite animated series of all time is The Venture Brothers, but no one has A, ever heard of it, or B.
No, but The Venture Brothers is great and would be deserving of number two, I think.
The Venture Brothers is the most like The Simpsons in terms of world building. Like,
yeah.
Like the fact that The Simpsons is now in what, I don't even know, season 30, season 31, and they can do
31.
Like, they have enough characters that they can flesh out a story about Moe's Bar Rag really speaks to the entire universe of the characters. And the Venture Brothers is the closest thing to that. But the clear number two is South Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Except I kind of don't even think of South Park as an animated show because the animation is so bad and so limited. Like you are right that South Park is the number two. But, like, I don't know. Like, South Park is one of those shows that could easily be done as, like, well, like, 80% of the stuff on it could just be done live action, basically.
Yeah, but doesn't need to be. And the fact
that it's
makes it more hilarious.
Yeah, no, that is true. Like, I that is the right answer. And I'm glad you didn't say Family Guy, because I think a lot, like, what are your Family Guy takes?
I was big into the early seasons of Family Guy, but it, like, if we're going to talk about like the Seth MacFarlane cartoons, the actual funniest
American
one is
Dad
American
is way Dad. Better. Yeah, way I better.
But I mean, Family Guy's not bad, but it's just one of those things that it's lowest common denominator stuff at this point, just like The Simpsons is. But the early Family Guys really, I don't want to say copied The Simpsons, but like the throwbacks, like, remember when we used to get cutaways in like season 4 of The Simpsons? Like Homer would think of something and then it would shout back to some sort of weird reference. It was Family Guy essentially turned into that for the first few seasons, but the references were far more obvious that, you know, it's just a different generation of writers. So when you would get like a callback to Godfather 2 and like Don Homer walking down the street eating the oranges and people coming up to him with donuts and that kind of thing. They weren't as hyper-specific on Family Guy as that.
Right. No, that is true. I mean, the issue with Family Guy for me is that, I don't think the first maybe 4 to 5 seasons were this way, but the show became, it really just became mean-spirited. Like a lot of what they were trying to do was just trying to like really specifically pick at people. And also the writers just sort of gave up the pretense of like telling stories, and the plots were just always vehicles for jokes. Like sometimes entire acts would just be vehicles to get to like one joke. Like someone would think of the joke and then write backwards from that.
That's not always a terrible way to write. It's not the optimal.
I mean, some of the Simpsons writers admitted that they would do that. Like because I've watched like all the commentaries and everything. So,
yeah.
I mean, like it certainly is not terrible. I guess my take would be is that Family Guy is definitely the lowest common denominator of like adult animation, I think.
Sure. It's still pretty good though, is the thing. Like there's a
yeah, few I still of them, watch it.
Like I would say South Park is number two. So Simpsons then South Park. I feel like that's probably going to be a pretty consensus one too. And then once you start getting from like 3 to 10, I guess that's where it gets a bit dicey. Like I love King of the Hill. I think King of the Hill is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and King of the Hill is hilarious.
And it holds up really, really well. I've been going back and rewatching. Like it's just on TV now for whatever reason. Like I have cable, which the fact that you have to spend so much on different streaming services now, unless you're like illegally doing it.
No. I did the same thing. I wanted to talk about this with you too. I like did the math. I'm saving money with cable now.
Me too. Like it's kind of crazy, especially if you can get in on like some sort of like joint Netflix account or something. Like I have Amazon Prime anyway.
Yep.
Not because I mean, actually Amazon Prime is actually quite good as a streaming service, but it's thrown in because I buy so much fucking shit off Amazon that I have Prime, so I just get it. Like,
right.
I don't
know. Same.
I don't, I don't factor that in as like a real cost for me paying for streaming because it's just comped because I like free shipping.
And I get Hulu for free through my phone contract, so I don't pay for that either. So the only streaming service that I pay for is Netflix, which is, I think it's $11 a month now, and then I do ESPN Plus, and then I have, I think, $65 a month for my cable, but that's like with the Golf Channel and some of the other extra sports stuff. So I think it's like, I don't actually think it's the other way now. Like, I think cord cutting is probably like not intelligent now.
Well, I don't know if it is or it isn't. Like, if you like, remember when like Kodi boxes were super big?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so like a lot of people, like I even had one at one point too. Like, you'd get like an Android box and you just plug it in to your computer or whatever, and then you just like put an HDMI cord into your TV, and there'd be different apps on it that were basically illegal streaming sites. Like, there is a site, and you can find, it's called US TV Now. It's for the military members and people living abroad in the U.S., but I think it can cost $30 a month. They give you 12 channels for free anyway. You can't access it in America, though. But I guess if you had a VPN, you probably could. Like, if you only wanted to watch, like, the Emmys or the Sunday late game on Fox for football, like, it's good enough for that.
Right.
So there are ways to get around it if you just legit don't want to pay for anything. But yeah, if you're going to stock up on all the streaming services and then pay for, like, you know, Sunday Ticket or DirecTV to make sure that you have football, or MLB.com and that package, that it's all essentially the same at this point. Like, it's, there's no net gain to cutting the cord over cable because cable prices have come down because of it. And it's far more convenient just to have cable. And all of
I can just walk into my house, I can grab the remote and I can turn it on. Like, I don't have to log in. I don't like it. It's very, I really do enjoy the simplicity of it after I haven't had cable in, I think, like 7 years until now.
And like the service that I'm with up here, like, I just have an app and I have it on my computer as well that if I'm not at home, I can
watch it on my
cable.
Phone. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not laggy. Like, it's HD. It's awesome. And like my TV provider is also my cell provider, so I don't actually get charged to stream stuff off their app, which is great.
I'm glad to hear someone else say this, but because like none of my friends have cable. Like of all the friends that I like graduated college with, I'm the only one that has like a cable contract. But it is like, and also, I mean, you do get a lot of content, hashtag content, on TV that is not there on streaming services. Like I actually love the Food Channel. I don't know how you would feel about that. You eat super healthy, but like I enjoy watching the Food Channel. That's not something you get at all on any of the streaming services.
So the Food Channel is on a lot in my house. My wife watches it a ton, but like,
yeah,
ours is like Bravo, the DIY Channel, HGTV. Like, I don't particularly love these shows, but I just eat. My wife watches them all day, like, cause she's home with the baby. So I just come home and I'm like, oh good. Another episode of Flip or Flop. Fantastic. And I hate every single person on that channel.
No, all of the HGTV, all of the, you have to know this, the mom and the dad and the two little boys, and they're like super famous from their HGTV show. They have like books. I think the guy's name is Chip. Maybe. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, this is going to tilt me. I'm going to have to look it up. But like, it's like, it is like the like home improvement show. But I absolutely hate it. And it's always on at the gym. I found that people love to watch these shows at the gym.
So, okay. This is very interesting because I was just getting, you don't really know Paul all that well.
Fixer Upper is the name of this show.
Yeah.
I really hate that show. And I really don't like those two people.
It's funny, I just Googled it, and one of the people also ask, if you look up for a Chip from HGTV, the third question down is, what race is Joanna from Fixer Upper?
Yeah, great.
She looks good pretty white. From this long-distance photo, she looks white. So
She's clearly white. I think she just has brown hair.
I guess people need to know that. People need to know this stuff. Maybe we're wrong on this. Maybe I should be Googling what race is Joanna. I don't really care, but it seems like a very awkward question. But I was telling this to Paul, my producer, because he did keto for like 18 months. And he lost like 50, 60 pounds. Like, it really did work for him. But now he's to the point where he doesn't want to eat like that every day. He wants to eat like a normal person again.
Yeah.
So he got a gym membership. And I kept telling him, like, I think we talked about this last time, that I completely changed up, and I try to change up my workout routine like every 3 months or so. And I want to get back to the animated thing here in a second, but this will tie into the gym stuff, talking about HGTV.
Okay.
That I was doing a lot of running for a while, and then I switched to basically core and like heavy weights. Now I'm like in sort of some sort of a mix. Like last football season, I gained, I think, 25 pounds. The year before, I gained 35 pounds. I'm making it my goal to try not to gain no more than 5 pounds this football season. So I really have like a regiment that I go with.
Now. I think I've already failed that.
I'm actually sure. Down.
Yeah. No, I always gain weight like 100% of the time during football season.
I'm really pushing myself to make sure that I go 5 days a week and I keep up with the strength training program, but I have to mix in some cardio either way. And like, I had been doing a lot of like the HIIT training, like the sprinting. So you run it 12 on the treadmill for 45 seconds and walk it out for a minute 20 and then run for 12 and do like 15 goes of that. And like, you're pretty gassed by the end of it, especially after you work out. But what I've been doing now is I run for an hour. I run 8 miles on Monday night and I run 8 miles on Thursday night. I just turn on, I go to the gym, I turn on Monday night football, Thursday night football, and I just run for an hour. And as I told him, like, running sucks. It's not fun. But I can't actually like watch any like a real thing on the treadmill if I'm trying to run and zone out. I need to blast music in my ear and have football to watch. And it's whatever sport that you enjoy, but that's what you need to be doing. Like, that's how you make the time pass. Just watch something you're actively into and the time actually will fly by.
I go to the gym at about 3 p.m. every single day, and I go for about an hour, and I just do the stair stepper, and I respond to all of my emails then. So I have my iPhone, and I just get back to all of my emails for the day. I'll do, you know, fantasy football trade offers. I set my waivers for all my leagues at the gym and everything. And I just know from like 3 to 4, I'm going to be doing cardio, and I'm going to be like getting stuff done at the same time. And like, I know that that's obviously it's probably insanely bad for my brain to be that stimulated all the time. But as you're saying, it does just get it done, and it keeps me from straight ballooning. Like, I don't lift as much during the football season because I don't have 2 hours or 3 hours to go to the gym or whatever, but it at least keeps me from gaining like 20 pounds during the football season.
Yeah, well, I can't even lift right now. I've been doing, I started with the new football schedule. I'm live every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. till 11. And then we're in at the office, and there's a gym right next to the office. So I go do my max lift day right after that show before football starts. And then I can get back. I go from like 11:15 to 12:30. And I can get back, and you know, if there's injuries, I can change lineups. I can answer people's questions. But like, I get so jacked up for football right after we do the show. Like the hour before, like the 2 hours before, if I was just sitting here, I either like doing a guest hit or responding to questions, I get so antsy because I love when football starts. It's still like one of the few things that, even as someone who is, you know, getting to their mid 30s, that I get really fired up for.
Oh, so yeah. I'm still fired up that morning.
Like I try to use that energy and just go and try to lift as much as I can and just try to do 5 reps, 2 sets of as much as I can lift, whether it be, you know, presses, incline presses, you know, curls, deadlifts, whatever it might be. I try to get as much in that hour and 15 minutes. And I feel great during the day. And I think it's helping me on Sunday, like, maintain my energy and not eat like as much shit as possible. And I continue to write my waiver wire column on Sunday evenings, mainly for the fact that I don't drink on Sundays. Like if I didn't have that article to do on Sunday nights, I would just get plastered watching football. Then I'd fucking forget everything. So that's been sort of my goal for the past like 3, 4, 5 years now, in terms of like cutting out drinking on Sundays, because there's nothing more fun really than sitting around, because I go to a bar to watch the games so I can watch them all at once. It's just weird sitting in a bar and not drinking. I have to really over tip the servers, being like, look, I'm not drinking. I'm going to order a meal. I'm going to drink some coffee, but I'll tip you more than my bill is, so don't worry about it.
Do you go and watch with your buddies at a bar?
Yeah. There's like anywhere between like 4 and 8 of us that show up a week. Like Garion shows up sometimes, Meany shows up sometimes, Paul will go with me. So it's people like, we sit around and we talk about the games as they're going on, but I'm the guy with 2 laptops and an iPad in front of me and a screen of 8 TVs in front of me just to make
sure. Well, I was just saying like that would stress me out so much on Sunday to not have my laptop and my phone and everything. Like I don't even know. Like, yeah. So I guess if you can bring your laptop, like do you play like the 4 p.m. slates and like the Sunday Night Football Showdown and everything?
No, I stopped playing Showdown. I've decided, you know what? I'm not good at Showdown. I'm gonna stop.
You're not calling Drew?
Listen, he's winning everything. How am I going to beat him? Honestly.
No, it's true. It's true. Showdown, I've had a couple good weeks of it. Enough to like keep chasing the dragon, right? But I just like also I can't football slates are so precious. I just can't imagine not playing them. Like, you know, because we only get it 4 months out of the year.
It's funny. I'm actually playing more DraftKings-wise in golf during the swing season than I am NFL.
My golf strategy during the swing season has been I just load up the Daily Roto Optimizer and I just lock whoever my favorite guy is. You know, whoever, like, could be Benny Ann, could be Hovland, could be Wolf, whoever is playing. And I just lock them and then I turn, like, the random way up and then I just play that in, like, $200 worth of games. And if I have a good team, I'll watch on Sunday. And if not, I won't.
That's interesting. That's another good thing, too, if you go to the gym, like if for the time that you're at, if you can somehow convince, like I assume most gyms are all the same, that there's like a set like channel slate that they have.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
If you can convince them to like get Golf Channel going, if you show up around like 3 on a Thursday or Friday, you can watch golf for an hour.
So at my gym, all of the cardio machines have their own TVs on them.
Yeah, that so, you can change so the I channels. Can...
Right, right, exactly. So, but I'm not watching golf on them. I am watching soccer because they're pretty much every day of the week. There's going to be some sort of daytime soccer on because it's all taking place, you know, in the overseas.
Gross.
I know. You're really not on board. You're really not on board with the soccer these days.
I mean, I've
never really,
yeah, or any day of my life. I don't know what it is about soccer. I just can't get into it. Like,
so some people just don't like it. Like, and I've never in my life been one of those people who felt like it was my mission to be like, no, look, you absolutely have to like this thing I like, or you're very wrong.
Well, it's not even that. It's the soccer people get like very triggered very easily.
You're right.
And it's sort of the same thing like being and growing up in Canada that like I don't really like hockey all that much. Like that's probably
an even worse sin in Canada.
I mean, I don't hate hockey as much as I let on to like random people that I end up meeting, but I just find it that people get so upset that I tell them that I don't watch hockey, or like they'll tell me like, oh, the Leafs captain, da da da. I was like, I've never heard of this person in my life. Who are you talking about? And like they're like, what? It's fun. Yeah, I'm not a fun person to bring to parties where I don't know anyone because you're just gonna
troll.
I'm just gonna troll to entertain myself until I leave. My wife doesn't like that when I do it with her friends, but you know, you got to kill some time. You got to have a few laughs. But anyway, back to this animated series stuff. So Simpsons, South Park, then there's like a bucket of this, like what could be number 3. I'll throw Family Guy into that. Like if we're talking about like, do we want to talk about like popular TV shows or like any animated
series? I mean, just ones that you and I like, because I think people know the popular ones. The one of the popular ones that I don't like as much as other people do is Bob's Burgers. Like, I think Bob's Burgers is good, but I don't think that it is on even close to the same tier of show as other Lauren Bouchard shows. Like, I think it is markedly worse than other shows that he and H. John Benjamin did.
Yeah, like I think Archer is better.
Oh, Archer is better. Home Movies is better. And even some of the weird Adult Swim stuff they did, like Lucy, Daughter of the Devil, I think is like I would, you know, maybe rather watch that.
So, South Park, King of the Hill. I love the Tick animated series. That's just from my childhood through adulthood. I've found it just incredibly funny. I never thought that Beavis and Butthead was all that funny.
No, I didn't. I think I've probably watched 3 episodes of it ever, and it just didn't do it for me.
I think that's a generational thing, though. Like, when Beavis and Butthead was on, I was like 6 or 7. And just, I think all the humor went over my head.
Right. Yeah. And I'm with you.
And a lot of like the music that they were making fun of, like, I had just never heard before. Like, I wasn't like, people claim they were like big into Nirvana in like the early 90s. People who were my age, it was like, you were 5 years old. Like, are you kidding me? You weren't into Nirvana.
Right.
You found out about it 10 years later.
Yeah. So this is crazy to me. So I didn't know about Duckman until I think like maybe 3 years ago, because a podcast I listened to mentioned it. How crazy, like, Jason Alexander at like the height of Seinfeld being like this huge, massive cultural phenomenon concurrently did one of the weirdest and I think like most entertaining animated shows ever. Duckman was so good.
We were talking about this a little bit. I haven't seen Duckman in probably over a decade. I remember downloading it to rewatch it probably like 10 years ago or so, because back when you could like torrent stuff and right. That was super easy. I actually just downloaded the entire series of Duckman. I started watching the first episode and like I forgot how bad the animation is. Like, it's really
bad. And not only is it not bad, it's ugly. It's like very, it's like, and like purposely so.
Yeah.
No, everyone is extremely ugly. Yeah.
I don't know if it's something I'd go back and rewatch, though, to tell you the truth.
So they're like all on YouTube, you know, no one is policing that. And, just like over the last 2 or 3 years or whatever, I've just kind of watched them off and on. And I still find them to be pretty entertaining. Where are you at on Futurama? Cause I think for me, Futurama is that's my personal second favorite.
Well, the bucket I have right now, like if we're talking about like personally, like I said, Venture Brothers is up there for me. The Tick is up there for me. Life and Times of Tim, which was on HBO, is fucking hilarious, but it's impossible to find. Like, it's not even on the HBO Go app. So they've tried to like disavow themselves of that show. But if you can find it, it's pretty good. Like, BoJack is probably the best current one, I think. That's another one that could just be like, it can't be a live action show because there's like weird shit that happens in it, but it is a live action show. Like, the way that it's written, it's like a sad comedy.
Yeah. But yeah, no, yeah. I think BoJack is okay. It never grasped me the way some of this, like I don't ever find myself being like, oh man, I really want to put this on the way I am with other shows.
I would say I like King of the Hill more than Futurama, but it's close.
So I think the reason why I like Futurama a little bit more is just that it's from the same people that wrote The Simpsons. So therefore it's just a little bit more, I think it's just a little bit more comfortable, like a little bit more familiar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But from King of the Hill, it's almost exactly the same thing. Like, it's a Greg Daniels and Mike Judge show. So if like you like The Office or Silicon Valley or The
yeah,
Simpsons,
it, the King of the Hill is, jokes. Yeah. King of the Hill is an office ass style show. No doubt about that for sure.
And then there's a whole bunch of other ones from like either the mid 90s through the 2000s that, I mean, I'm not like super duper into, but I know that people really, really love, like Space Ghost is one of them.
I like Space Ghost. Yeah.
The Animatrix is one of them. The Batman animated series is another one that people really like. Ren and Stimpy, you could probably throw into that bucket as well.
Yeah. Batman, the animated series. What did you think about that one?
I've never actually watched it, so I don't know. That's the one where Mark Hamill does the Joker, right?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I don't know if I would want to watch it as much now, but that was another one that I watched in college that I thought was really good. The other one that I want to mention, only one season of this show, Mission Hill, that was done by some of the Simpsons people. And I probably rewatch those 10 episodes like once a year.
Mission Hill was Weinstein and Oakley, right?
Yeah. 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 Josh and that one I thought was great.
There was another one that was on at that time too that had Will Ferrell as the voice, called The Obelongs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was not as good.
No, not as good. So that was our animated series.
I got some more on this. What are your thoughts on Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I thought when I used to smoke a lot of pot, Aqua Teen Hunger Force was one of my, like, Adult Swim in general was just one of my favorite things. Like, I would watch Adult Swim shows all the time, and Aqua Teen Hunger Force was one of the best ones. It is like the perfect like stoned humor show of all time.
Were you ever like a Dragon Ball Z person? Because I was not.
No, it's like Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, Avatar, The Airbender, like some of these other shows that kids got into, I never liked.
So what were the animated shows like when you were a kid that you were into? Like, for me, I watched a lot of Inspector Gadget. I watched a lot of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain.
I remember Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain. I think a lot of what people my age watched growing up, though, was Nickelodeon. So that was SpongeBob. Like SpongeBob, Courage the Cowardly Dog, I remember. But yeah, SpongeBob is like my generation Simpsons, I think.
Really? Is it that kind of show? I've never actually watched SpongeBob. I have no idea.
No, it's not nearly as good or entertaining or anything, but people will reference it, and if you said anything about the show to like a 26-year-old, they'd be like, oh yeah, I know what that means. Like if you just said like the Krusty Krab or whatever, like people would know that the same way that they would know the Quickie Mart.
I remember there was some show that Gary, because there's a big, I think Garian's like your age, so there's like a substantial gap in between how old we are, and it was Halloween at Fantasy Office one time, and he came in dressed up as someone from the show, fuck was it, Recess. Do you know the show?
Yeah, that was another one I watched, but that I have like, you know, no memory of.
See, I just had never realized it existed. I was like, would you just not like do laundry today? Like, you look fucking horrible, man. You know, apparently he was dressed up as the main character. So there is a gap in this sort of stuff. I think there's some that like we didn't really hit on. I think there's three big ones, and maybe I'm wrong on this. Like, even when I was a kid, the X-Men animated series was really good. The Spider-Man one that came on Fox was really good. But with my son, he's 9 months now, so eventually he's going to start watching cartoons. Like, if I try to introduce him to old cartoons, I have three kind of pegged that I can watch with him while he's a kid, that I watched when I was a kid, that I think my dad watched when he was a kid, that probably still hold up. I have no idea, but like old Scooby-Doos are
still old Scooby-Doos are still good. Yeah, completely still good.
I will still watch those. Like just Looney Tunes in general.
Like yeah, Looney Tunes still. I mean, by the way, as we're talking about this, this is what just reminds me of what is so good about the Venture Brothers is the Venture Brothers was so good and referential towards all of this stuff, like all of the old animation stuff. I think if I was your age, I think I would like the Venture Brothers even more.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like it's essentially Johnny Quest right. As a premise, and then it just goes off from there with a lot of David Bowie involved.
Yeah, like it is like I don't know how many people have even watched that show, but I would hope that this podcast would inspire at least one person to go and look at it. Here's one for you. Have you watched Rick and Morty?
I have. I'm not a big Rick and Morty fan.
Dude,
like
people lose it for that show. I don't get
Why?
It. Why? Yeah, I don't get it.
It's fine. Like it's funny. It's enjoyable, but like, it's not like, oh man, like you need to see Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Like I think it's okay. But I think the fact that people like it so much actually kind of, I'm not that into it. Like I'm kind of, out on it actually. Cause people are so into it.
That's almost how I am with soccer. Like the people who love it too much and then force you to want to like it as much as they do. Like it's okay to tangentially like something. It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I didn't catch up on it. Like I'm guilty of this too for things that I like. Everyone, when you like something, you then deal in that currency and then you take it as a personal slight if people don't like it as well.
Don't like it. Yeah.
That's just how people roll. But like Rick and Morty fans are a part of that and soccer fans are a part of that, most definitely. Like I love golf. I don't really try to push golf on people. I get people don't like golf.
I try and push golf on people a little bit just because I want more people to like it.
Sure. The one thing I always try to talk about with golf is how much fun it is to bet on. Like it's the best bang for your buck on the go. And people just think of golf. Oh, golf is so boring. But like TV golf isn't all that boring because you just see a bunch of shots all at once.
Yeah, TV golf when it's done well is really good. When it's done poorly, it can, like the AT&T Pro-Am, like no one's getting super jazzed for that.
No, but it's funny because that will be one of the most popular ones of the year because there is a very stark divide in golf demographics between young people and old people. Obviously, the right. old far outweigh the young, but there's no one like really in the middle. It's all like super old people now, like people under 35 who like watching golf on TV. One is completely due to DraftKings and gambling, and the other one is because old people are like, you know, tired and rich, and this is
what they want to take a nap.
Yeah, they like to play golf, so they're gonna watch golf, and they know like the generally speaking, like especially with the AT&T Pro-Am, the celebrities that show up are people that old people might know.
Right. Yeah. I guess the way I feel about soccer is that it sort of unlike golf, for it to be an enjoyable television experience, you kind of have to like know some of what is going on away from like the actual ball, because otherwise it's a lot of nothing. Like if you don't have an understanding of why the players are positioned where they are, like it's going to be a total snooze fest. So I understand why people don't like soccer and why people think that it's boring. Like I do completely get it because it seems like nothing happens for 20 minutes at a time.
Well, it's funny. Like I follow the NBA almost like every sport that I cover, but I don't cover the NBA and I don't particularly watch a ton of NBA, but I just like the drama that surrounds it. Like it's one sport that I'll follow, but don't watch. I just like to know what's going on.
That's actually a way a lot of people engage with the NBA. And I think the NBA is actually okay with it. I think that they are okay with people just being into the podcasts and the social media and everything and not watching every game.
It's hard to watch every game. Like I don't do anything with baseball anymore. I haven't watched a second of baseball. I don't know who's who anymore, who's on what team, how much people are getting paid, who's in first place. Like I just legit don't care. But with the NBA, like it's something I can throw on in the background. There's not a game every day, but I don't want to watch 82 games. Like everything that I kind of like now is condensed stuff. And it's no different than people gravitating towards streaming services or HBO and really enjoying these shows that are 8 episodes long for a season instead of 25 episodes long on network TV. Like I only have so much bandwidth that I can commit to something because I like a bunch of different things. And with the NBA, like it's just a background thing for me. I can kind of keep up on it. If I miss something, no big deal. But the media that's produced for it is
so good.
It's really good.
So good. Yeah. My consumption of NBA podcasts is probably 10 to 1 my watching of an actual game. I watch all the games in the playoffs, but during the regular season, I will probably only watch Oklahoma City Thunder games. And this year, I probably won't watch any because they're going to suck and be terrible. And Chris Paul's going to be on the team. So I probably will only watch the TNT games this year as far as basketball goes, I bet.
I probably won't even watch anything until football season ends, to tell you the truth. How do people stay up with college sports, like college basketball? That blows my mind.
I watch college football, but I follow one team and I only care about the results of one team. I play college football daily fantasy, but you don't have to watch the games to do that.
You just have to know who the people are.
Yeah, and you just have, like, I mean, we have projections and stuff on Daily Roto now, so that makes it a lot, like, that makes, in general, following it and like knowing the players a little bit easier. But yeah, like I mean, playing college football daily fantasy is like a gargantuan amount of work. So I guess I follow college football, but right now I could only tell you the records of 3 teams, I think.
Oh, I have a show for you that you can go back and binge watch. It's only 2 seasons. Animated.
Give it to me.
The Critic.
Oh, I've done that twice. Yeah, the critic is fantastic. And why am I blanking on the main guy's name?
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. That dude is so, like, that guy could just say anything. He could be reading the ingredients off of a shampoo bottle and I would probably be laughing.
It's pretty terrific. Especially if you like movies.
If you like movies. Yeah, it's really good. There are a lot of hilarious parodies, and it's another one where you wish that there were just more seasons.
Yeah, but sometimes this works out for the best. Like, you can really, and like the Simpsons problem that we talked about off the top, that the fact that it's gone on for so long kind of takes away from how good the start of it was, that it's like the Arrested Development coming back. I've really enjoyed the new Arrested Development seasons, like, but they're just, they're like,
I haven't even watched them.
Like, versus other TV shows, they're good. Like, they're just as funny, but compared to the first two seasons of Arrested Development, they're 15% as funny.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, it's hard. What you're saying is accurate in that it's sort of hard to get that lightning in the bottle or bring it back. Right. Like that is a very real thing. Like once the lightning has left, it's unlikely to come back.
No, I think my point is more, it's really hard to be the best of the best. And I think that people really overlook that. And being able to sustain that over an extended period of time, like, you can look back at, I don't know, like Sandy Koufax, for example. Like, he's in the Hall of Fame. What did he actually have, like 4 good years of pitching?
I have no idea. I've never done this before, ever. I'm going to go look at Sandy Koufax's fan graphs.
I'm just curious. Like, I feel like my headcanon, that's how it worked. I could be completely misremembering this, but like, his peak was so good, but it's just hard to sustain that level of excellence.
Why did he retire so early?
I have no idea.
I mean, so if these numbers on FanGraphs are accurate, he had a sub-3 ERA from 1992 to 1996. Then he had the lowest ERA of his entire career in 1996, and then he retired.
You think that Sandy Koufax retired in 1996?
1966, my bad.
Okay, I'm gonna say
yeah.
Change
those nines to a six.
Yeah. So like, so the peak wasn't all that long, right?
That is 5 years, but I mean, like what you're the. I think the better comparison for a Dodgers picture is actually Clayton Kershaw, who was like maybe the best athlete in all of sports for 3 years, and is now like just he's good now. Like he's just good.
Yeah, but but how long has Kershaw been in the league for now? Like 12 years?
Yeah, long time.
And he was basically good for, like, excellent for a decade.
More like 6 years. Was excellent for 6 years, good for a decade.
Like another guy who's kind of like that is Fernando Valenzuela on the Dodgers. Like, from 81 to 86, he was absolutely incredible. He had a WAR over 5 basically every single year, and outside of that, like, he wasn't very good. But those years, he was incredible.
Yeah, we really see that with pitching, right? Like that's like kind of the number one thing where we see guys who are amazing for a small period of time and then flame out really fast.
But I think that equates to television shows that it's easier to make at a very, very high level, 3 seasons of something or 2 seasons of something versus, hey, this show is incredibly popular. It's going to go on for 8 seasons. It's like, oh, okay. Let's figure the rest of this out. Like, you can only have so much longevity. Like, that's why The Simpsons is so impressive, because it retained that, like, super elite level from basically season 3 to season 9. So 6 years or 7 years, 6 seasons of being the best show on TV is incredibly difficult to pull off.
Yeah. Also, this was another point I wanted to bring up to you that I thought was hilarious, but I was listening to another podcast that brought this point up. But the way people's, and we kind of touched on this with the NBA thing, the way that people engage with television now is so different than it was even 15 years ago. So you actually probably, like, do you remember when Friends was on TV?
Yeah, I do. I remember when Friends and Seinfeld were both on. Like, I was
okay. So, do you remember that they used to just jam shows in between those two to get people to watch whatever random show it was?
Yeah, it was a part of the block. That's how you had your lead-in audience. I mean, a part of that. I mean, John Oliver actually even mentioned it at the Emmys, that part of the reason that John Oliver's HBO show got so popular is because it came on after Game of Thrones, that people just watched it.
So that is exactly what I wanted to talk about. Game of Thrones, the finale, so the end of it all, you know, probably was 2 times as popular as other episodes of Game of Thrones, got 17 million viewers for that very last episode. And this random show, I've never heard of it before it was mentioned on this podcast, Caroline in the City.
You've never heard of Caroline in the City? That was on for like a bit.
Never heard of it, but that show averaged 17 million viewers and was canceled for not getting enough views.
Yeah, you can't really speak to ratings versus ratings though from back then, only because
that's the point I'm making though, is that it's just so crazy different now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the 17 mil, I think about if you can get 17 million viewers, that's why the NFL continues just to print money, because it's the highest rated thing on TV year after year, week after week. Even like Bengals Bills on the local affiliate will do better numbers than some primetime shows on NBC on a Thursday kind of thing. But like 17 million viewers it's also tough to figure out, because is that actually 17 million people watching the show when it's on? How many people are watching that on streaming services? There's a lot of people who just illegally download shows, and people are now watching it, and people are watching it worldwide now, where TV never really had that opportunity before, where if I live in Iceland, I can just go find a copy of Game of Thrones and watch it an hour after it's up because it's on the internet somewhere. That I find ratings just in general, I'm dubious of them, of how accurate they might actually be. Like, they all seem... either they're artificially inflated to make up for all the stuff, or they're just way lower than you think.
The truth is that ratings now, there's no good way to do it unless you went like full, like Facebook utopia, where you just could implant chips in people's brains and monitor whatever it is that they're doing.
I mean, they don't do that?
No, I mean, they do, but it probably not to everybody. I just read this book called The Circle, and I think that there was a movie made from it with Tom Hanks and Emma Watson, but the whole central conceit of the book is basically that Google and Facebook win and like they just become more powerful and replace world governments. And very good book if anyone is looking for something and is bored.
Oh, see, I thought it was just a recap of the first three episodes of season two of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where the Circle tried to infiltrate Star Trek Deep Space Nine in the Bajoran government.
I've never watched or read or interacted with Star Trek.
At all, really?
I think I saw one of the movies because a girl that I was dating in college wanted to watch it, but that's about all I remember.
Yeah, see, people are big on The Next Generation. I enjoy The Next Generation, but I'm a big stan for Deep Space Nine. I really, it's one of the first serialized television shows. It's weird.
The Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, like every, like the Next Generation, the original Star Trek series, like they're like all episodic, like a Seinfeld episode or a Friends episode or NYPD Blue would be one of the first ones too. That was somewhere. I think Hill Street Blues was one of the first serialized ones, but it didn't help the ratings, put it that way, because there's no way you could catch up on anything.
Yeah, no, that seems like it would be impossible.
Yeah, like if you, that's why serialization took off so much this century, is because we started having easy access to shows that came before it. You could physically catch up on things. Like, imagine if Breaking Bad hadn't been accessible to go, like, it would have been canceled after a season and a half because no one would have caught up on it because they couldn't. Therefore, no one would give a fuck about the entire show.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't tell long stories if they're just random episodes coming out.
Yeah. So, I think that's everything on animation. Did you have more? Cause I have
some. No, I wanted to make sure to get on. I wanted to make sure to tell people to watch Duckman and Mission Hill, but those were my only two big things.
Oh, I have a funny cuss story if you want to hear it.
I would love a funny cuss story.
So as it pertains to television ratings, Tim used to, until he was informed, leave his TV on knowing that shows he liked, like if he was going out for the day and he really liked a show that he was recording for later or a video to VCRing for later because it's cussed, that he would just leave his television on that channel so it would count towards the ratings. He thought that's how it worked.
He didn't know that he had to have a box.
Yeah, he did not realize that.
So I actually have gotten the letter from never been a Nielsen family, but I've gotten a letter from Nielsen where they will give you $10 if you just fill out like a one page questionnaire about your viewing habits, and I've done that like twice.
You really? Oh, Tony Romo, one under through one. This is fantastic.
Daryl Rubble's gonna have to delete his account.
People are really rooting for it.
Truly, nothing would make me happier than Tony Romo. I mean, Tony Romo winning a Super Bowl, but Tony Romo winning a golf event would be close to making me as happy.
He chipped in from 50 feet from the rough.
He loves that. He loves a good improbable eagle.
Oh, if you look at like his baseline strokes gained stats versus the PGA Tour, which you can find because he plays enough events now that like he has a few that qualify. He only plays two rounds at a time, but he actually gains strokes around the green versus like the rest of the PGA Tour.
The man is, he knows what to do with a wedge in his hands.
He's got the touch.
I love Tony Romo. Do you like Tony Romo? Are you in on him?
Yeah, well, I kind of look like him. So
you do, yeah.
So I'm in on Tony Romo, yes.
I it makes me happy that he is at least finally getting his due as a human being. People always were obviously horrible to him as a quarterback and refused to acknowledge how obviously great he was. But he lives a good life now, you know. No one, like, everyone loves Tony Romo, the broadcaster, and he gets to have fun as a golfer too.
There is like backlash to Tony Romo.
There's some backlash to everything.
I guess so. I guess I win.
What in life? Name one thing that has 100% approval in this day and age.
It's just a weird thing to complain about with Romo when, like, even if you don't think that Romo is the best football broadcaster, like, there are so many that are just significantly worse, just objectively worse, that complaining about Romo seems strange. It's like complaining about Collinsworth. Like, yeah, Collinsworth can be a bit hacky sometimes, but he's good. He's not Troy Aikman or Booger McFarlane.
Oh, yeah, Booger McFarlane is, like, the utter worst of all time. I really don't like that dude.
Do you think this is a secret thing as a part of the package that, like, hey, listen, ABC/ESPN, we're going to give you the Monday night game, but we're not going to give you anything else. And we can boot you out if you want, and cut you a little bit of a deal here. But what you have to do is put the worst possible person in the broadcast booth at all times, therefore making our guys on Fox and CBS and NFL Network just look a whole lot better.
No, I'm sure that the people working at ESPN think Booger is good.
How? Maybe he's just super easy to work with. That really does go a long way.
I mean, dude, like, I can guarantee you that there are people out there who don't have Twitter accounts who, like, agree with what Booger is saying. Like, whatever dumbass thing he's saying, like, they're into it. Like, they think it's good and sharp and intelligent.
Really?
Yeah. So, when you talk to people about football who don't have Twitter accounts and don't, like, listen to podcasts, they really do think about things because their only source to, expert knowledge is going to be whatever people on TV have said. So they're going to be all about grit and determination and establishing the run. And they just are going to take what the people on TV say as gospel because they are getting no contradictory information from it.
Yeah, but I'm not even really concerned about that. Like, I don't care about how people approach the game or think what's good and bad in terms of, like, strategy in football. But, like, if you watch the Sunday night game and you watch, like, the Romo-Nance game or you watch the Aikman-Buck game and then you watch this Monday night game, like, the quality of the broadcasting is just worse.
Oh, it is. It is way worse. But I also think that a lot of people who watch football probably are not even paying that close of attention to the broadcast quality also. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, listen, I watch most football games with no commentary on, so.
Yeah, I watch it with mute. I guess I watch Red Zone with the sound on, but that's it.
Like, especially for primetime games. Like I said, I'm usually running at the gym listening to music while I watch the game. And other than that, like, even if I'm at home, like, I'll throw it on mute, have it on the TV or have it on very low and, like, check on a podcast or something like that. Or I'll have the game streaming on my computer. My wife will be watching something on TV with the sound on.
She'll be watching Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper or Flipper Flop or House Hunters and or House Hunters International, which is just horrendous.
Yeah, I really can't imagine. All right. You got one. We want to cover one last topic before we get out of here. You got anything?
I mean, I got like seven topics, but.
All right. Well, we got 45 minutes. So let's do one last topic. And then, you know, next time we can get some free time over the next month and run it back again.
Well, how about this? Maybe we'll try to rapid fire through a few of these and I'll say, okay. What I was going to say.
Yeah, so, no, that works for me.
Did you know, because Facebook told me this, and I hadn't realized it, I've been in the fantasy sports industry for 10 years now, a decade.
Dude, you're old.
I know. Like that, it blew my mind to see that. I started in 2009. I created a blog, which was called The Fantasy Blog, and it was not good.
Man, that's going to be, it's like scarily enough, that's going to be getting kind of close for me too.
Yeah, it seems strange. And like, I start to worry, and maybe I shouldn't worry so much about this kind of thing, but like, I think about what I do for a living. I do multimedia for sports. I try to branch out into entertainment. And the main reason that I do that is to try to give myself more longevity talking about, like, if I can seem like I'm no expert is a term I don't like, but versus like the 98% of the world, whether it's talking about golf or football, whether I am an expert on it, it's just when right. You only interact with other experts, it seems like you don't know anything. But just branching out into like comedy stuff and entertainment stuff, just having a vast, you know, repertoire of what you can actually talk about, I think will end up serving me well in the long run. That's why I do TV recaps and stuff like that, just for the practice of it and to see if it hits with people. But I do worry that my job doesn't exist in like 5 years and that I'll just be like,
no, dude. Pat, the exact opposite is true. As more manual jobs are automated, the demand and the money for entertainment products is going to go way up. Like, we're already seeing it, but people who are established in the entertainment product business, our industry is, the arrow's pointing way up.
I think so too. It's just, I always worry about this stuff because I'm thinking about like, I'm married now, I have a house now, I have a condo now, I have a child now, and we'll probably have more children coming on the way at some point. Like, and I live in the third most expensive place you can live in North America. I'm really thinking about moving.
Where would you move to? Would you move just somewhere else in Canada?
Yeah, I'd probably move back to where I'm from, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I'm from Halifax. All my family is there. All my wife's family is there. And like, we were just kind of doing the cliff notes. Like, for the price of my condo in downtown Toronto, I can essentially buy a mansion in the best part of the city where I'm from. And like, it's not like I'm moving to a small town. Like,
yeah,
it would be the equivalent in the States. Like, if you lived in New York City, moving from New York City to Portland or Kansas City.
Kansas City is a huge city. We have multiple pro sports teams.
Sure. I'm just saying that like the drop off from like big city to the next, like that tier of city as it compares to the rest of the country.
I mean, if I personally, just the way that I view life and living, I am not ever interested in spending crazy amounts of money on where I live. So I would be on that board with you.
Well, I thought I always had, like, I came here for school and then I moved to New York City for a while and then I moved back to Toronto and I felt like I had to be here to get work, but I don't anymore. Like, I can do my shit from anywhere. So why would I spend 4X on everything when I don't need to? Like, I would miss the quality of the city. And I do worry about this, like bringing up my son. Like, we were looking at daycares and like putting him into that because it's around that time. He's going to be approaching a year very, very soon. My wife will be going back to work. And like, I know people who run daycares, like where I'm from. And I look at the daycares around here, like they're exponentially more expensive here. And there'd be a huge cost savings moving somewhere else where we have family or daycare is just overall cheaper. But like the services that are provided by daycares around here, like I never thought like having like a very, like living in the most multicultural city on the planet really opens yourself up to stuff that I just never experienced when I was a kid. Just like even the menus that kids when they're 2 years old
get. No, that's a very good point. Yeah.
And like they'll learn, you know, they can eat Indian food, they can eat Thai food, they can, and not to say that you can't get that stuff anywhere, but that's ingrained in like the daycare curriculum around here because they're servicing so many different people around the world. Like that early exposure to different languages and just meeting different people all the time. I think that's important, but I don't know if I want to pay like $28,000 a year for it because I can't afford it.
I mean, that's also things you could do at home though. Like you can make Indian food for your kid at home if you wanted.
I could, but I'm a busy man, Davis.
Have you ever subscribed to one of those like boxes, like Green Box or whatever?
Yeah, but like I had HelloFresh for a while because they were sponsoring the show, so I got free HelloFresh, which was great. But
oh, dude, that's huge! If HelloFresh is listening, I would love for you to sponsor the TakeCast.
I'll tell you, the one you want to be sponsored by is Bumbass Socks. Those socks are fucking awesome.
All right, I'm sending emails after we get off the show.
Yeah, just get like a mid-roll person to get on your side. They can figure all this stuff out for you. But I don't know, like, I could make Indian food at home. I could order Indian food in, but like, I don't know,
it's a different experience. I completely agree with the point you're making.
And like, I didn't have that, so I don't think it's the most important thing in the world, but it's something that when I moved here originally, when I was 24, like it really did change just the way that I saw the world. And if he can be exposed to that at a very young age, and maybe things are just way different where I'm from now, 20 years later, than, you know, when I originally left, or I guess 10 years later now. But I don't know, these are just different things that I think about. And being close to family means more, like, now that I have a child.
A kid.
Yeah, like the only thing that I ever wanted to do in my entire life was get the fuck away from my family. And now I'm like, I don't need to see them every day. But them, you know, being a phone call away, they want to see the grandkid. I guess it's a nice thing. They're getting older.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess it just all kind of circles back to that. I can't believe I've been doing this for 10 years.
For 10 years. Yeah.
And your life is going to change so much over 10 years, but you never really know exactly how that's going to change. And I'm shocked that this is where I'm at right now.
No, I agree with that point. And it's just like, it's one of those things where it, like, I have a very hard time stopping and just like opening up my eyes and being like, wow, I've just been doing the same thing. Like, it's crazy to have that realization of being like, wow, I've been doing the same thing for a year in a row now, with like out even really realizing that's what I was doing.
Yeah. And it's like my schedule during football season is ridiculous at this point. Like, I do 10 right. full length shows per week. And that's on top of writing columns. I do a Golf Digest thing. I do a PGA Tour thing, all my actual columns, the producing of everything that I just work with Paul. And like, we're a 2-man team. Like, it's, I think people under, like, I'm going to give myself the Barry Horowitz bat pack. I don't think people realize how complicated some of this stuff is and how long like video actually takes to produce to make it look all right. It's not just turn on a camera. Like, if I do 10 hours of content, people think that I work for 10 hours a week.
For 10 hours. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not really the case. But I feel like I need to change things up. Like, when I look forward to next year, like, can I sustainably do 10 shows a week for next football season in the next 10 years? Like, do I want to do that? These are the questions that I'm starting to ask myself right now. And
yeah, no. So that's the hope. The hope is that always is that the next season is going to be better, a little bit less busy. You'll have a little bit more help. The show or the site or the whatever you're doing is going to be a little bit more successful and won't need as much content to get people interested. That's always the lie we have to tell ourselves so that we think that we're not doing it forever and stuck in the infinite loop of turning our time into money, but more money for someone else.
And that's really something that's come into play for me right now. And it's funny, like, you talk about, you know, people say you get like dopamine hits from your phone. And when you're not on your phone, it's like, oh, and you don't know what to do with yourself. If I'm not working now, I don't know what to, like, I have no hobbies anymore. Like, my hobby is going to the gym. And I frankly think that's part of my job, so I don't look like a slob on video.
Yeah. I mean, I still have hobbies. If I got fired, I would just golf all the time.
I see that's also one of the, like, it's stuff, the quality of life stuff like that, that is also one of the main reasons I'd want to move. Like, if I move back to where I'm from, I can get a membership at the most expensive golf club in the city for 1/10 the price that it costs to get a membership at one of the four courses, like, in the city in Toronto. Like, it's stupid, like, the cost of living. And I think if the cost of living was less, I wouldn't stress so much about, like, my wife was out with the baby overnight, like, just before football season ended. And I was at home on a Friday night by myself, and I didn't know what the fuck to do. I wrote an article.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm home by myself now, I just read. Like, if my girlfriend was out of town for a trip or whatever, I would just sit and read a book or play some video games.
And I feel like I need a jolt of something different. And like, my life is, like I said, changed so much, but I've been very static. I've lived at the same place now for 4 years. My wife and I have been together for 5 years. We have the baby. That's different, but that's both of us doing that and working together towards it, that it's sort of a shock to your quality of life and just like your routine in general. I just think that moving cities, like I've had a lot of success moving. I've lived in a lot of different cities. I've moved a bunch of different times. And I feel like each time I've moved, my life has changed for the better each and every time, that maybe it's a shock to the system that I need to kind of break out of the funk that I'm in right now, that maybe I can get my hobbies back. I do have more friends back there. All the people that I grew up with that I still talk to via, I can hang out with Cust on a regular basis.
Well, there we go. I hope the next time we do this podcast, you have big, massive, life-changing news for us, Pat.
Maybe so. We'll see, though.
We'll see. Until the meantime, if you want to support Pat's dream to move home to the backwoods of the like Canadian wilderness, please listen to his podcast. Please read his columns on DraftKings and follow him on Twitter at the PME. You have to have way more followers than me now, I bet. You're just dunking on me, dude. Wow, this is amazing. Like, this is I feel embarrassed for even bringing it up now.
Well, how many followers do you have?
30,000.
I got like 50K, but I've been doing this for 10 years.
I've been doing it for a long time that I should have more than I have, probably.
Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm the most fun Twitter follow, to tell you the truth. I'm actually like a shitty Twitter follow.
You actually say nothing interesting on Twitter. You just shill your links.
Yeah. I like, let me ask
but
you.
But I think some people like that, though. Some people don't want me to be like tweeting. Like, actually, a lot of people don't want to be hearing about my political opinions. They just want to hear NFL takes.
Well, I used to be like that on Twitter and like really, and I do from time to time. I mean, I usually just do it too. Like I said, shill my links to everything because I have so much content coming up that I can kind of overwhelm it and then like dunk on Cust as much as I can. But I just, that's what the show is for. Like I do so many shows. You can hear what I think about things. Like I've basically stopped responding to a lot of like start sit questions too. It's like, I have a list that's out of guys ranked above one another. And I do 8 hours of content on this where I basically talk about it on every show. Like if you really care what I had to say, subscribing to the show, supporting the show is how you can help me the best. If you actually do care.
If you actually care. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that the people that, you know, don't do that are the people that don't care. They're asking 800 people and like,
yeah, they're just spamming. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think that if I broke out on my own, I could do that?
Broke out on your own, that you could be successful or that you could not be on Twitter as much?
No, that I could be successful doing that. Like if I had my show and I wasn't affiliated with DraftKings, do you think that would work?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you still got to pay you. Some piper has to be paid because you would either have to pay everything to get set up to have your own website and have payment processing, or you'd have to do the Patreon thing, but you wouldn't be able to do it just selling ads. I don't think, at least not at first.
You don't think so?
Not to begin with, or it would have to be like just you probably wouldn't be able to bring your, probably wouldn't be able to pay your boys, like your producers and everything. I don't know. I mean, yes, I think you could do it for sure. I just think, probably at first it would be a little tight. That's all though.
Yeah, it could be tight. I would need to have a producer to help me do it. Like it would just be unsustainable to try to do everything myself. I that's what I did at Fantasy. I did everything myself and I hated the job so much by the end of it that like I had to leave and I needed to have a producer to help me. I'm like, yeah, how much it fucking sucks trying to create graphics and like a so lot. The process used to be like the graphics that you'd see in my video show that are just simply like rankings. Like here are my rankings. Here's who they are playing this week. Here is the team and here's the photo that's on it. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but I actually have to come up with the rankings for one thing. And then just like the copy and paste, like each graphic takes, I don't know, 8 minutes between filling in all the areas, making sure the fonts are right, making sure there's no typos, and typos always inevitably happen, or you get a matchup wrong and then people destroy you for it. Like, do you even know what players play on what teams? Like, I know, man. Like, I'm trying to do this all myself. And then adding the graphics, like, that's been the biggest thing for me by having Paul, is Paul creates the graphics and he inserts the graphic. Like, when you and I are talking, you see it come up that
yeah.
he'll say Austin Ekeler. and then the Austin Eckler board will appear on the screen. When I worked at Fantasy, I used to have to go back and listen to the show and insert the graphics into it. That fucking took forever.
Yeah, that's insane.
But
crazy.
If I went back to doing it myself, that's how I would have to do it. And just, I have no interest in doing that. But I think if I got a title sponsor, at least at first, it could help me tread water for a while. I don't know. I would actually love to stay with DraftKings. DraftKings is, people like hate on DraftKings. Good company.
No, dude, if anyone from DraftKings is listening to this, I just, you should know, I love you. Like I love all the, like the DraftKings employees I've met. They're all great. Like I am with you. I like DraftKings too.
Yeah, like just because I mean, I'm a contractor, so like I'm a contract worker for them. So I go down to their offices like 2-3 times a year. Like everyone's awesome. Everyone's super easy to work with. And like the culture they actually have at their office is, you remember when like startups first went on, there's like, oh, there's foosball tables all around. And it just seemed like it was a bunch of people like smoking weed all the time. And these were the ideas that we had. Well, it's now like version 3 of that sort of idea, and DraftKings has sort of mastered it. Like everyone's super efficient. There's like rooms that you can go into teleconference and talk to everyone. There's like, I don't know if they have food there for everyone. If they don't want to, like, they provide lunch from time to time. And they're like a $1 billion company. They can do this stuff, but they really treat their employees right. And I mean, I guess that's what the rate goes to.
That's what I'm paying for.
Yeah.
I paid for that. I paid for that every day of my life.
Yeah, so they're a great play if you can get in with them. I mean, they're a great place to work for. Like I said, everything, they make everything super easy on you, and it's one of those things where they give you incentive to work hard, and that's really the, like, even like
that's you're huge.
You're at Daily Roto, like with those guys, and like, I mean, I used to work half with those guys, half with someone else, and like, whenever I worked with like Drew and Mike and guys like that, you just see how hard they were working and made you want to work harder. They were also great to work with.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Maybe the next time you come on the show, you're going to have double the big news. Maybe you'll be doing your own thing and you'll be living in a town of 3,000 people in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. I mean, it's a town of 500,000, but sure.
500,000 is big. I mean, that is about half as big as Kansas City. That's a big city.
Yeah, and in Canada, it's like the sixth biggest city. That's why I compared Kansas City to it versus Kansas City versus American cities is Halifax versus Canadian cities, because it's Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Calgary, and then everything else I think has less than 1 million people.
Well, there we go. All right, everyone, go support Pat. Thank you. Bye.